So tell me kind of what's going on right now in the association for you guys.
You know, I think especially through the Southern Plains, where we had such a large wheat crop this year, and we're really seeing, you know, it seemed like state after state was coming in with new record yields, which is great to see. Certainly from a from an agronomic perspective, but a lot of challenges out there in terms of how do we, already having bins nearly full, large summer crops coming, how do we get that wheat to market? And really, what can we do to continue to promote that and those, and connect what this year was really, for the most part, a little bit lower protein, hard red winter crop coming out of, you know, in particular, Kansas and Oklahoma. And are there markets out there that are a little bit unique or different that maybe traditionally we haven't been in? And, you know, we've been fairly fortunate so far this year compared to last. And that year to date, just this marketing year, so from June to now, we've actually exported more hard red winter wheat than what we did in the entire marketing year a year ago. And so that's been particularly good to see a couple of countries really coming in much more strongly than they had recently. You know, of particular note out of the Gulf would be Brazil. You know, likely a million ton purchaser this year, and then the country of Morocco, which has really given us a good outlet for some of that lower protein hard wheat.
Right. And I think a lot of the countries right now that have produced these record size crops, they're kind of in the same boat as us, producing some of that low protein. So there's some opportunity out there for this next crop, as long as producers really focus on the quality of their wheat, look for that milling quality wheat.
You know, as you look at total world wheat supplies, and this is the exact point you were spot on with, it is that we are in our fourth record year of world wheat production. In fact, you know, nearly 7 out of the last 8 years have been records, or 6 out of the last 8 have been record years for production. And so it's not just the U.S. that's had big crops. But as you mentioned, there have been a number of areas that have had some quality concerns. We look at Canada really having a very heavily rainy season during their harvest, and so creating some quality problems, particularly on their spring wheats. The EU, again, a too much rain issue that's really created some problems in that wheat and really shifted a lot of it into feed channels. And that has opened up some opportunities for us because the milling wheat supply is much tighter than what that overall picture looks like. And so as we try to find where our opportunities, I think part of it is matching up the quality wheat that U.S. Growers produce with markets that will pay for that and will provide additional value. And then the second piece is how do we get the right trade policies in place so that in future years we have additional markets that maybe today we don't have access to.
Speaking of trade policy, you know, Russia has come on board as kind of a major player in the wheat world. How are we in the U.S. going to remain competitive in those markets around the world?
The rise of Russia as a major world wheat exporter, really the Black Sea region as a whole, has been a big shift in the last 15 or 20 years. So you think about Russia, even in the early 90s, still being a pretty significant export market for U.S. wheat. And now today, where this past year, they were actually the number one wheat exporter in the world. That is a tremendous shift, and it's due in large part to the amount of modernization they have found. Now, a couple of caveats on that is they may have been number one overall in total tons shipped, but if you look at International Grains Council data as to what were the actual prices received for that, they were all the way down at fifth in terms of value received and returned to growers. And so, yes, they are a significant exporter, but I think our focus in the U.S. has always been much more on a quality perspective and maintaining value and profitability maybe ahead of just tons. And that's an area where we still continue to lead, even with slightly lower export volumes.
Are y'all paying a lot of attention to TPP right now? I know the beef market has been very vocal about that. What about you guys?
Absolutely. The U.S. wheat industry is all in on TPP. See it really, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is really being a priority trade issue. You know, part of what, when we were discussing Russia and their emergence as a major world wheat supplier, what that has really allowed us to do is shift the export markets that we focus on away from what have largely been price-sensitive markets in the Middle East and kind of Northern Africa to Latin America and Southeast Asia, where not only are we receiving higher prices for that grain because they are quality-focused buyers, but they also have rapidly growing economies. And so then you layer the Trans-Pacific Partnership region on top of that, and it really matches up very well with where we see a lot of potential growth coming from anyways. Now, when that agreement will actually have an opportunity to come up or be considered and be finalized is probably anybody's guess at this point, but it remains a pretty significant priority for us.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it's anybody's guess. Obviously, there's a lot of push to get that done during the lame duck session. And then, of course, President-elect Donald Trump, who's been very very downgrading on TPP, what's your thoughts? I mean, or is it just a total toss-up right now?
You know, we need TPP as soon as we can get it. You mentioned the beef industry. It certainly is a time-sensitive priority for them because as of this year, they are at a tariff disadvantage to Australian beef going into Japan. And so that's actively a market that they are losing. It's very similar for us in the wheat industry. But our country is Vietnam. So Australia and Vietnam's free trade agreement went into effect January 1st of 2016. And so now for the last 10 months, we've been at a 5% tariff disadvantage. Now that 5% doesn't sound like much, right? Particularly when you think about tariffs that other industries face. But in a high volume, low margin business like wheat, 5% is the difference between $10 or $15 a ton, and that's the difference between making sales and being replaced. And so we need TPP as soon as we can get it, and that's a message that we're going to be working to carry here in the coming days and months.
What message do you want to leave wheat growers with right now, and your members and beyond that?
I think probably one of the most important messages that I think for all of us in agriculture to think about right now is particularly coming off of what's been a pretty bitter election season for the last 18 months is that trade has really been demagogued in this cycle and trade agreements. And that's particularly concerning when we think about an industry like wheat, right? We are one of the most trade-dependent grain commodities that the U.S. produces, annually exporting more than 50% of that crop. There's a tremendous need for us to change the rhetoric on trade and realize that securing new agreements, finding new market access, and removing barriers really at the end of the day is one of the most important things we can do to help wheat farmer productivity in the U.S.